We're back with our series about Jesus as your friend. And this week I want to talk about how marvelous your friend is. Jesus, that is. Martin Goldman was one of the eldest of 16 children in a Jewish family. And as a young man, he married his girlfriend Jean, and they honeymooned in Europe. They decided to return to America on a giant German airship named the Hindenburg. If you remember old-timey news articles, you saw the Hindenburg coming as it was getting ready to land, and wow. Anyhow, but they waited too long to get adjoining seats. And since they didn't want to sit separately from each other, they reluctantly took an airplane back home. Wow, what a twist of fate and circumstances. It saved their lives because the Hindenburg exploded in a fireball while trying to dock in New Jersey. Well, 2 years later, Goodman created a company named Timely Publications and launched a line of comic books. His wife, teenage cousin Standy Liber, later known as Stan Lee, had fun creating characters for the graphic magazines. He was one of those who came up with, you know, Spider-Man, the Hulk, the Avengers, the Fantastic Four, and many other superheroes that we've come to know over the years. Well, in a few years, the same publishing company was changed to Marvel Comics. And as Paul Harvey said, and now you know the rest of the story. Well, I like the word marvel. It means to feel a sense of accomplishment and overwhelming wonder. We live in a time when we have seen so many inventions and innovations that we seldomly experience this emotion. Now, comic books wants us to understand the marvel at their creative warriors. Yeah, but only one person. A real figure in time and space is truly marvelous. You know who that is, I hope and pray. Now, if we're not careful, we might become so used to Jesus Christ that we don't react with awe and wonder when we see him. Now, the Bible declares his glory among the nations and his marvelous deeds among all people. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 24, and then also over on Psalm 72, verse 18, it says, "Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds." In Luke chapter 2, verse 33, we remember the story when Joseph and Mary heard what the aged Simeon said to the baby that he held into his arms and prophesied, "Marvel of what he said about him." Wow. In the Gospels, in Luke chapter 9, verse 43, everyone was marveling at all that Jesus did. So it came to mind when I was looking at the passage in 2 Thessalonians about the second coming of Jesus. And I just want us to take a moment to imagine the split second of his return. The sky burst open. The blinding clouds swirled in anticipation, the angelic masses that come into a vivid lightning and trumpeting sounds and cheers. Wow, it'd be wonderful. Well, try to pause long enough to realize that you are going to see Jesus face to face. Isn't that something marvelous? I think so. So in writing to the church of Thessaloniki, which is also known in the Bible as Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul acknowledged that he had faced many persecutions and trials, but he went on to say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, "All this is evidence that God's judgment is right. As a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering." Now, I don't think any of us can deny that there's suffering that goes along with being a part of the kingdom of God. Now, it's wrong to make the gospel road sound like a parade route. And if you decide to honor Jesus with your life, there's a cost attached. And there's just some things you're going to have to forfeit. if you're trying to honor the Lord without forfeiting anything, you're either deceived or immature in the faith. In much of the world, Christians are apt to be arrested, fined, imprisoned, beaten, or even slain. Now, what's been in the news lately in Nigeria? I don't have to expound upon that. But the Apostle Paul went on to tell the Thessalonians, God is just, and he will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give you relief to who are troubled to us as well, in verse 6 and 7. And then this relief. Verse 7 goes on to say, this will happen when the Lord is revealed from heaven in a blazing fire with his powerful angels. I like this picture. Jesus will suddenly appear from heaven in a consuming fire with the multitudes of angels that ranked with him. And there's indefinitely a more powerful view of this than all the comic books and superheroes combined. In verse 8 and 9, it says that he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They'll be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from all the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his might. Okay, preacher, when's this going to be? Well, verse 10 says this will happen. One day he comes to be glorified in his holy people, to be marveled, and among all those who have believed. I pray this includes you and me. So think of the marvel, the overwhelming awe, the wonder, the astonishment we feel when he comes. When we see Jesus in person, we will marvel. It'll be a marvelous, amazing, wondrous, beyond description. We'll be sitting there going, hey, he chose me to be his friend. Oh, Lord, oh, I'm sorry. I was too embarrassed to mention you or stand up for you, and I can't believe that I was ever reluctant or ashamed to serve you. Something marvelous is awaiting us. Stop filling your heart with the wickedness of this world. Don't meditate on evil thoughts. Start thinking about the King, the King of Kings. We're here on a short-term assignment. We're pilgrims. We're aliens. We're wayfaring strangers traveling through this world below. And we have a message to give. We have good news to tell our co-workers and our fellow students and our families and our communities. We have a story to tell at Bethel. So why not ask someone, has you ever considered honoring Jesus? No, they might say, I haven't really tried church, or because church was irreverent. And church can be, I don't know. But Jesus, nah, I don't know him. Well, I feel so unworthy. I don't think he would want me anyhow. I know, you hear all these kind of things, I know. And I felt that way too for many years, but he's helping me. Because of what he has done for me, I don't have to carry the weight of my guilt and shame any longer. I can be free. It's marvelous. Now, those are the conversations we should be having. Because we got good news to tell because of our friend Jesus. He's not an intrusion. He's not a burden. He shouldn't be banished from the public square. The further we separate the person of Jesus from those in authority over us, the more authoritarian they become. Now, we don't want a state church. We don't want the state telling us how to worship and when to worship and where to go to worship and when not to worship. But we do want the influence of our faith being reflected in the values that govern us. Now, contrary to a lot of people, we are founded on Judeo-Christian principles and beliefs. That's what our forefathers set out when they set up the Declaration of Independence, when they set up the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. So our faith is being rejected in the values that govern us. Now, it's not a perfect government today because we elect imperfect people, but we have a rule of law that we govern by, the Constitution. But I digress. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, our job, your job, my job, is to bring Jesus and represent Jesus in the places where we live and go. the Apostle Peter tell us, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise be to God. So if you want to get a glimpse of this truly marvelous situation, forget the comic books, pick up the Bible, and get a new vision of your marvelous friend. And think of the day when he returned to be marveled by you and by all who believe. What a wonderful, wonderful thing is to have a relationship with our Creator that revealed himself through Jesus Christ. And then walked and talked and experienced everything that we experience. And then when he was crucified and he was buried, and the third day he rose from the dead, he was seen by hundreds, and then he ascended back into heaven. But he said, I'll be back, guys. I'm your friend, and I'm coming back to get you. Ah, what a blessed hope. That's what we call the blessed hope. I'm looking forward to it, and I hope and pray that you are too. Because Jesus truly is our relationship with God that gives us access to eternity. Now, we have a choice where we want to spend eternity. We can either spend it in the place we don't want to spend it in, or we can spend it with God, the one who created us. Jesus said, in my Father's house there are many, one translation says mansion, other translation said many resting places. He says, and I go to prepare a place for you, and if it wasn't so, I would have told you. Isn't that wonderful news? He has prepared a place for us. Now we got to go through this old world. We got to go through all the trials and tribulations. Jesus said, you're going to have them, but fear not, I've overcome the world. So we have something much better to look forward to. That's why you hear me say all the time, I paraphrase what the Apostle Paul said, if we only had this life to look forward to. Think about this life, the daily routines, the mundane stuff that we do. If we only had all this to look forward to, get paid on Friday, be broke on Monday, you know, all that. If that's all we had to look forward to, we would be a miserable bunch of puppies. But praise be to God, because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the promised hope that's given to us, and the invitation to be our friend. Can you imagine? God is our friend. He loved you so much that he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. Well, I hope and pray you know my friend, and if you don't, just say, Lord, I want to understand more about you. Come into my life and be Lord over it, and be my friend. In Jesus' name, amen.